Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
The Cold Omaha Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Podcast. Zachary Bennett here, your reclusive host and producer of the program. Tom Schreier, producing tonight, sitting in, making sure I get here and get the job done. Tom, how you doing?
I'm excited. I missed my Locked On Wolves podcast.
Yeah, you were gone for like a week and then the show went to crap.
Yeah, I didn't know what happened. I was I actually was talking some basketball with one of my friends who lives out in Santa Monica, and I was hyping the podcast, and then we looked and we're like, it hasn't been going for a while.
About that. Yeah. I already apologized on a previous episode. You're back. We're back. Things are happening. At least the Timberwolves aren't the Brooklyn Nets, losers of 16 straight.
It's amazing to me, given that their location, they're in Brooklyn, a hopping place in New York, the biggest media market in the U.S., and
has nothing to do with the product on the court.
Well, no, but they also have an owner who was willing to spend, and they just overspent on a whole bunch of bad players, and it just doesn't...
That's what happens when you trade your important, valuable assets for over-the-hill stocks.
I mean, we'll look back on this, right, with Boston and be like, what the hell happened? This is a team that, if LeBron wasn't in the East, maybe could win that conference and is rebuilding.
Boston?
Yeah, right? I mean, they have picks.
You're saying, yeah.
They have picks that, not rebuilding, but they have picks to get good players.
Yeah,
that's what I'm getting at.
They're just not doing it. But anyway, those are other teams. We're here to talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves, fresh off a 102-88 victory over the Boogie Cousins-less Sacramento Kings.
Right.
Did you watch the game, Tom Schreier?
I did. It was a funny weekend. We were talking about this on the staff pod. It was the Wild, which is a hockey team that plays in St. Paul, played the Los Angeles Kings, and the Wolves played
on the same night,
Sacramento Kings on the same night. Yeah, I watched the game. It was maybe a little concerning, I guess, in the first little bit there. And then they did lose the third quarter. I think they're getting to a point where maybe that doesn't faze them as much. And you got to beat these teams. So I think Ricky Rubio called it a double win, kind of, because you're beating a team that you're supposed to pass in the rankings, or in the standings, rather, to get that eighth seed. And got to win these games. So
yeah, especially with no Rudy Gay.
Yeah, I mean,
no DeMarcus Cousins, obviously. The Kings are just in shambles. They started Ben McLemore, who couldn't find the court early.
He was a high pick, wasn't he? The Kansas player?
Relatively. I want to say he was
fifth
between 8 and 12.
Oh, okay. Maybe not as high as I thought.
He went to Kansas, played for a year, and then went into the draft. And then after he left Kansas, Andrew Wiggins went into the KU program and did a year and then went into the draft. But the showdown, Karl-Anthony Towns, and why do I do this? Willie Cauley-Stein,
yeah,
two former college teammates went at it.
That is Cauley-Stein any good? I guess I don't know.
I laugh at myself now before the Wolves won the first overall pick in the lottery that ended up yielding Karl-Anthony Towns. Worst case scenario, they get the 4 pick in that lottery at the time, before they actually got the pick. At that time, I had talked to myself, all right, if the Wolves get the 4 pick, they'll get Willie Cauley-Stein and it'll be fine. Yeah, Karl-Anthony Towns is much better. The Wolves are in a much better situation. I don't think Willie Cauley-Stein's anything to write home about. He's definitely a flawed and limited offensive player. He could be a great rim protector someday, maybe, if he puts it all together. Who knows? But the Kings, just not very good.
No, and I stayed up to watch more than anything just because I wanted to see. You know, I kind of explained it in the opposite direction when I watched the Rockets game at my friend's house, which now that Xfinity customers, I'm sure everyone knows this now, but can use Fox Sports Go. It's huge.
I did not know this.
Yeah, so I'm actually watching the Wild, which is that aforementioned hockey team right now on Xfinity. But
I'm never sure what a Wild is when you talk about
it. No, I don't think they know what it is. But I watched the Rockets game at my friend's house, and you know what? The quality is good enough that through whatever that is, Chromecast or whatever, I could see the game. I know you don't want to rehash all this, but I was trying to explain. He's like, why are you going to watch this game? You know,
most points scored in a single game in NBA history.
Is that right?
No.
I knew it was absurdly high, but I also knew Tibbs was going to be like, play defense. You know,
buzzkill Tibbs.
I mean, people were
Tibbs
watching.
Is the guy. Tibbs is the sober guy at the party where everybody's blackout.
Yeah, except he's yelling more than the drunk people.
He's mad about the drunk people being
right. He's like, yeah, you know, it's just not. Yeah, I can't do a Tibbs.
That was a lame.
I know,
comparison, but I had to throw it out.
It hurt my throat. I don't know how he talks like that, but anyways, I would say people there who were not Wolves fans or even really big sports fans. We're like, man, this Towns guy is really good. And, you know, Wiggins, that dude's super fast. Towns, I love, you know, goes and lifts weights after it, right? You know, like he's all upset and he's going to go. But, you know, I watch it for those storylines. I like that this team at least seems to have a little more bite. We saw, I think it was Devin Harris and Towns get in a little spat or whatever. I covered that Dallas game. And then Ricky Rubio, usually mild-mannered, kind of thoughtful guy. Was it Patrick Beverly went after him? And he got right in his face and kind of showed him what's up. So I think, you know, it seems like this team is a little bit kind of catching on that, you know, you got to hit back a little bit. And at the very least, don't let a bad third quarter ruin your entire game. And I think that happened against the Kings.
It's funny that you say you stayed up to watch it because I got a text from my grandmother today. Shouts to Grandmother Joanne. Blowout! Exclamation point. Actually went to bed before the game ended, overconfident they wouldn't mess this one up.
You know what? If you can get your fans to buy into that, that's huge. I mean, I think that's the Wolves have underachieved most of the year, and it's, a lot of it is they kind of get in their own little vortex and get sucked into a bad game. So, you know, again, it's hard to judge the Dallas and the Kings game because those teams are just really bad. But I really don't think – I mean, I really think they're capable of doing that against all their competition going right up to where the eighth seed is. The big issue is I don't think they play Denver, right? So, you know, this is the time of year where you'd like to play Denver, a team that, you know, again, you can get the double win, and they seem to be a little more confident. And I'm not sure what exactly it is, but maybe it's just they played long enough this year that they're maybe sick and tired of losing games they should have won.
The Wolves are 2.5 games back of Denver for that eighth seed. Three teams, the Sacramento Kings, the Portland Trail Blazers, and the Dallas Mavericks, surprisingly enough, stand in between them. The Wolves are 24-36. The Nuggets are 26-33. Some notes on Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns. Karl Anthony Towns ties Russell Westbrook for the NBA's highest PER during the month of February at 31.4. He scored 20 plus points in 15 consecutive games. Andrew Wiggins during the month of February averaged 28.8. 3.8 rebounds, 2.3 assists, and 1.8 steals while shooting 51%, 36% from three, 82% from the free throw line. So free throw line numbers, 3-point numbers, and overall field goal numbers were up. Currently 18 consecutive games with 20-plus points. The new Shaq and Kobe, I'm just saying.
Well, they pointed this out. I saw two stats. So I think they're the only two players in the league, too, that are on these streaks. Not only that, but I believe that Rubio and Towns maybe is, like, the highest scoring connection outside of one other tandem in the league, and I can't remember who's number one. It baffles me that they were trying to trade Rubio, and this would be, by they, I mean Tibbs, was trying to trade Rubio for, you know, beat up. And
were they, though?
Yeah, I mean,
were they? I'm so cynical when it comes to this stuff. It's like, do I really believe
people are trying to drum things up at the trade deadline just to make news, I guess, maybe. But, you know, at this point, and I understand Ricky Rubio's flaws in that he's very divisive, that half the fan base loves him and half the fan base can't stand him. Britt has a big piece on him, and I think people should read that because he really understands the game and understands what Rubio brings. But how do you trade him right now? I mean, he's hitting enough of the shots. He has a better shooting percentage than Chris Dunn and Derrick Rose. Just things he does on the court. You go, how did he see that? You know what I mean? Chris Dunn did his little impression of him where he threw the ball. You saw the
I'm
little
still
hike.
Convinced that was an... Oh, the little hike?
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the play where he threw it behind the back of the Portland guy way back.
Oh,
he like threw it behind him, and then I'm still convinced that was an accident.
Yeah,
I'm not
was.
Sure he did it on purpose.
I don't think he's a creative player. I think Chris Dunn is a
he's
bruiser.
Got a very rigid handle and a very rigid shot.
I mean, he's. I think if Tibbs creates a 2K player, it's Chris Dunn, right? I mean, that's what it is.
He got so pissed at him last night at the end of the first quarter when he was trying to do his thing and meander in the lane, and then he threw it to Wiggins as the clock expired.
Yeah,
and the Wolves couldn't get a shot off. He was livid. Tibbs was livid.
I think
the Kings broadcast was laughing. They were hilarious.
Yeah, I bet. No, and I think Tibbs is fair. I really think he will see a possession where they score and go, that was garbage and that will never happen again, and he's upfront about that. And then he'll see a missed shot and go, well, that's a good shot, that's what the play is designed to do, or whoever passes it to you passes it to the right person. So as much as I think sometimes I'm like, chill out a little bit, you know what I mean, like, you're not going to get every call, I think he's fair with his players. And certainly in the media, I think the first time that Dallas game, I was covering it, and he actually called out Towns and Wiggins saying, we need to play more defense and starts with you two. That was one of the rare times that he actually labels a player by name, unless he's saying something positive.
Usually he subtweets them during his postgame press conference.
Yeah.
He doesn't actually say their names, but that is interesting how he did actually say their name, because he usually just says, the key people need to play more defense or do this, that, and the other thing. And he doesn't mention them by name. And coaches, more often than not, will not take questions regarding individual players.
I learned that the hard way with Sam Mitchell.
In post-game press conferences like that. Well, Sam Mitchell's down to give the tough love, Tom.
Right, I know. No, he is.
I think after covering him for a year, we would know that.
Right. I was going to go back to something. You mentioned that, what was the stat that Towns and Westbrook had in common, the PER?
Well, they had the highest PER of anybody in the NBA over the month of February.
That's worth a second look. This is Russell Westbrook is playing FU basketball right now. I was actually in San Francisco watching that Warriors Oklahoma City game, and it was kind of funny seeing the three Oklahoma City fans.
In Oklahoma City, you're saying?
Game in Oklahoma City. The one where Westbrook and...
The embarrassment to the Oklahoma City fan base.
Right.
They were just... It was like...
And the cupcake thing,
like
which was
Klan
weird.
It was like a Klan rally, for crying out loud. I'm not kidding. It was embarrassing.
It was a little sketchy, but...
All the Wolves did was a petty video for Kevin Love. And granted, Kevin Love isn't Kevin Love.
I didn't see what did Oklahoma City do?
It was just a ruckus. The booing and a bunch of disrespect.
I did like that Westbrook.
They booed him every time he touched the ball.
Right. Although that's expected. But
some of the signs.
I know.
Just
yeah.
Are you a little shook up that I compared it to a Klan rally? I wasn't kidding. I have opinions about this.
Whoa. Fair enough.
Go read, what is it, Jason Thompson's article, the Bay Area News, whatever.
East Bay News Group.
Go read his article.
I'll pull it up. All right.
Go, continue with what you were saying.
Anyways, my point being was I like that Westbrook showed that emotion, that he's going to keep coming, that at that point he knew he was going to lose the game, and I felt like he even had respect from the, again, small sample size, but the San Francisco fans that were there. So it was an interesting experience, but the point being was Westbrook is I think trying to set some records here, and the fact that Towns, who I don't think is a selfish player, I try to explain why the Wolves are losing to people who don't watch as much and kind of are curious how a team this quote-unquote talented is playing the way they are. And I was like, they're only selfish when they panic. And I really think Towns is not going for stats. He just kind of can't help to be, he's just that good. He has multiple ways he can score. I think he's getting better at passing. I was concerned with the Dallas game where he had 7 turnovers, but it seems like that was more rust than anything. And to be fair, Dallas was very upfront that they were just going to double team him. I don't know. That's an incredible stat. I think what Wiggins is
Marcus
doing is...
Marcus Thompson wrote the article I was mentioning, by the way, not Jason Thompson. Sorry.
Marcus, okay.
Totally off base. Continue. Sorry.
So my point with this is I think we, even in a season they're losing, we got to appreciate what these players are doing, especially Rubio. And I think sometimes people need to take a step back, and the people who are adamant supporters of him, take a breath and look at his game completely, because you will see the flaws other people are seeing. And on the other side, you know, if you can't stand Rubio, again, take a breath and realize, like, you're just not going to see passing like this, you know, if he goes away. That's not Chris Dunn's game. I think Chris Dunn is a great defender. I think, you know, I was talking to Kent about that, about this. He can shoot off the dribble a little bit and create a little bit of space for himself. I think if he can develop that, I mean, he's a threat, right? But he's going to have to shoot threes a little bit better and just understand offense a little bit better.
36% is good for Wiggins, I think.
Sorry, I meant Chris Dunn.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, Chris Dunn has a long way to go offensively.
Right. You know, Wiggins seems like he got it back, right? Because he was kind of faltering early on, and it seems like he's, for better or worse, found his shot again. Something that really, like, in the beginning of the season, he was doing really well. There's not a lot I can complain about Andrew Wiggins. His defense could improve, same with Towns, but they are dynamic offensive players, and, you know, doesn't matter who your point guard is, they're going to have to get the ball to those two guys, plus LaVine when he comes back. So just something to keep in mind for all the people out there.
I thought it was pretty telling what I mean by this is Tibbs doesn't have a lot of confidence in Chris Dunn to play the point guard position, because last night he spent most of his time on the floor, if not all of it, I didn't check the numbers, with Tyus Jones, somebody who
Tyus is getting playing time.
I've been calling for him to play together. So right. I went and looked at two-man lineups on the NBA media stats page. Tyus and Chris Dunn have spent 26 minutes on the floor together, or 132 minutes together in 26 games. The Wolves' offensive rating is 105 points per 100 possessions. Their defensive rating is 102.9 points per 100 possessions. So not entirely great. I mean, in the greater context, the most used starting lineup, Wiggins, LaVine, Rubio, Zhang, Towns, the net rating is negative 2.3. However, in 18 games since the LaVine injury, Zhang, Rubio, Rush, Towns, and Wiggins, 233 minutes, a net rating of positive 6.6. So Brandon Rush in the starting lineup, as I projected before the season, might have been a good idea.
Right.
Proving to be a good idea.
Yeah, and Brandon
Patting
Rush.
Patting myself on the back.
Another rusty guy who I think probably is coming out a little bit now more playing time.
Let's not rule it out. What do you think of Shabazz Muhammad with the headband?
That's a huge, huge development. I was at the Dallas game, and I believe John Krasinski thinks he's going to get a Pulitzer for taking a picture of him, because all of a sudden he puts that on Twitter and it blows up, right? You see the white headband?
Did we ask him why?
I didn't see him in the locker room after the game. A ton of players were in there.
We need to do our due diligence, I think.
Yeah, do a little reporting here. There was a funny incident where Wiggins is trying, you know, he's so soft-spoken, he's trying to talk about, at that time, I think, tying Kevin Garnett's record for most consecutive 20-plus point games. And all you hear in the video we have, and it's on coldomaha.com, which also says zone coverage, that... We had a little rebrand.
Is there a rebrand happening?
Yeah, so zone coverage will be more like the highlights and the gamers and stuff. Cold Omaha will be the in-depth features that Zach promises to write. And I do have some Wolf stuff on there, too. But all you hear is freaking Towns' red cow order. or he's trying to get Jordan Hill's red cow order. So Towns went with the wings. He's a big wings guy. And you hear Jordan Hill talking about his burgers. Towns, by the way, I guess does not eat any red meat. Or at least not much.
Shocked. Yeah, it wouldn't shock me if he was completely vegan at this point.
Taking care of himself.
It wasn't last year, but the year before that, when the Minnesota Lynx were in the NBA Finals, I did some pretty in-depth reporting on why Sylvia Fowles changed the hairdo and wore a headband in certain games and not in certain games.
Really?
A different type of headband that she did, yeah.
I think this has to be a Cold Omaha exclusive.
There needs to be a fashion tab on the Cold Omaha / zone coverage page.
It's not out of the realm of possibility.
Can we?
Huh?
Billy Bowl, John Meyer, and I all did a show called The Break the Huddle Show back in,
right,
this would have been Kevin Love's last season. Yep. And on the website, you can go to breakthehuddleshow.com. There's a fashion tab.
Jeez.
I was the fashion expert on the...
It's huge in basketball. I don't know how many other sports it matters. Football a little bit. But anyways, where was I going with this? With all the
I think you wrapped it up.
Yeah, I mean we had
something to know. Gorgui Jang was 0-8. I didn't even notice watching the game, and I rewatched the game again before I got here.
Really?
It's not like I noticed him miss a shot. But yeah, he did not make one.
Shabazz, by the way, looks kind of like Corey Brewer. Like you can
with
kinda,
the headband.
Yeah, you can kind of mix them up a little bit.
I don't know, dude. Boz is kind of pudgy. Corey Brewer's legs look like toothpicks.
Yeah, that's true. I love Corey Brewer. I don't think there's much else to say. I still think this team can make the 8th seed. I think they should keep on going for it.
Do you really think so, even with the Boogie Cousins move to New Orleans?
It's still a weird team, isn't it?
Well, they've lost 3 in a row since
the
trade. Buddy
Hield's so bad.
Dude, I was so team. I, the only thing so I wanted the Wolves to do in the draft was not take Buddy Hield.
And I thought he'd be a guy that was ready to come and shoot in the NBA. He's not
rookie
ready.
Rookie of the Month in December, Western Conference. We're happy for him, but he has not had a good season. He was... not very good last night. I think do you think Kings fans are like, yeah, Tyreke Evans got him back?
Do you I think Kings fans are like, why did we use taxpayer money for this stadium?
And they had to wait. The travesty of it all, granted, you know, say what you want about Matt Barnes and his antics off the court.
Freaking Matt
showing
Barnes.
Up at Derek Fisher's house. But they had to waive him. They had to waive him. This is Matt Barnes, followed Yorger from Memphis to Sacramento.
Right. Right.
See, I wonder if he's ended up anywhere.
Our boy, he probably wants to go back to Staples.
Wouldn't
he's like,
be a bad guy for the Wolves to have on their team, and I'm not kidding.
Barnes?
Matt Barnes, yeah.
Is Barnes a locker room mess, though?
I don't know. I will know if you hook up with his ex-wife, he might show up at your house.
Yeah, I don't think he is. Those players tend to keep themselves out of trouble. Hopefully he won't do that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have many more thoughts other than that. I think they still can go for the 8th seed. I think the Pelicans are a weird team. I also think the Wolves are way more talented than their record indicates. And hopefully if they figure out, if they stop panicking and act like they've been there before, you know, I think there's success to be had. And I think Tibbs will get his way. I don't think that guy, you know, backs down from anything. So,
well, the schedule doesn't get much easier. They're going to really have to prove it. I know they only have a handful of home games left, more road games than home games. That's for sure. Tomorrow night, March 1st, they take on the Utah Jazz. They'll get 3 days off. They're at San Antonio, and then they come back. They play the Portland Trailblazers, the Los Angeles Clippers. I'm pretty sure Chris Paul will not be ready, but don't quote me on that. I'm not a Clippers expert. And the Golden State Warriors at home on a 3-game homestand before taking off and going on the road again. So if they want to make the playoffs, they're going to have to earn it, Tommy. I don't think there's any question about that.
No, it's true. They got to win that Blazers game, right?
It's one of the teams that's ahead of them in the standings. I know the Blazers made a move. Who was it for? They got a first-round pick, but they got rid of the Plumlee that they had. And now he is in Denver. But
nice.
I like what the Raptors did. I haven't really expounded my thoughts on the trade deadline on any sort of platform, but
go ahead.
I like what the Raptors did, getting P.J. Tucker and Serge Ibaka. I mean, that to me is, okay, if we face Cleveland in a series, we're going to send P.J. Tucker out there, and he might get two technicals, but that's fine. He's got to beat the crap out of LeBron.
I got to imagine P.J. Tucker, the player Tibbs would want to have, right?
Oh, totally.
Yeah, big brawler.
He's been a guy who, at the trade deadline and in previous trade deadlines, what did I say a couple years ago? There was a trade that worked in the trade machine. It was straight up, but P.J. Tucker wanted him.
Yeah.
Not so much, I mean, not your prototypical 3-and-D guy. I think he shoots something like 38.7 on corner threes, but not very good above the break, three-point shooter, but definitely a good defender. Sam Mitchell called him a linebacker.
Well, he basically tackled Wiggins, and Wiggins still made that shot, but in Phoenix.
Yeah, he did. He did that. Yeah, Wiggins made the shot over. Yeah, the foul was not called.
Yeah, getting Ibaka was big. Toronto, I think, if...
They did lose Lowry for the next 4 to 6 weeks. He's going to have a surgery. I mean, Corey Joseph is a capable backup. He's not anything new.
Yeah. But no,
you can't. Yeah. He's good. He's got a lot of Spursian qualities to him coming from San Antonio.
Yeah.
Meh. He's Canada's son. He is a Canadian, so he's on the team.
Yeah. The Wolves are going to have a tough run here to get in the playoffs, but the good thing is there's a lot of bad teams. So
we'll see what they do tomorrow. What do you say? We'll get together tomorrow and preview the Jazz contest.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. For Tom Schreier at TSCHREIER3 on Twitter. My name is Zachary Bennett at Zachary BD on Twitter. You can follow Locked On Wolves on Twitter at Locked On Wolves. Until tomorrow, so long.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
With the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.